You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
There are some people that are such, they're just so mendacious, I just wouldn't put them on air. Kayleigh McEnany, I never booked her. Jason Miller from the Trump campaign, I would never book him. I mean, these are just people who just, they just tell lies the way that, you know, most people breathe. And there was no value in that. I don't view Kellyanne Conway the same way. She was a senior advisor to the president. She was more of a filibusterer. And a subject changer, I thought.
Yeah, subject changer. That's right. That's what she would do. Yeah.
Than a liar. And I think it's different. I really do. And there is a there is a risk in just like lumping everybody together. There's a big difference between somebody like Kayleigh McEnany, who just like, this is what she does. She tells lies all the time. She can't acknowledge reality. So I'm just not going to put somebody like that on air.
December the 29th, 2020. The words of CNN Jake Tapper. I'm not going to put anybody on my air who just lies all the time. Of course, he wanted to use the fancy word, saying that they are mendacious. Mendacious. It's an adjective for not telling the truth, lying. But, you know, you're unschooled, you don't know, and he throws a big word out, so he looks really special. Mendacious. Well, I'll tell you who's mendacious. That would be Jake Tapper. I'm going to have some fun with this before we wrap up today. Because that was a piece between Brian Stelzer, their CNN, what's he supposed to be, an ombudsman for CNN, and always looking to tell the truth behind the stories of CNN and trying to always present a factual picture. Right. And CNN and Jake Tapper, who said, I would not book anyone who's mendacious. Does the name Michael Avenatti come to mind for you? Michael Avenatti, who was Stormy Daniels' lawyer. Michael Avenatti, who was on CNN so many times, you were thinking he's a new anchor. And he had the gall to even say on CNN, on one of the Jake Tapper programs, I might run for president. I'd be the best candidate for president. So now the mainstream media wants to lecture us on who's lying? Now we're going to get into that in a great bit of detail. And, of course, they are having some fun with this New York Post editorial. New York Post, owned by Rupert Murdoch, a subsidiary of his, and along with Fox News, and an editorial saying that Trump should just quit fighting, accept defeat, move on. And, of course, Brian Stelzer said, but Fox News didn't even cover it, as if CNN ignores major stories from time to time. We're going to have a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Let me tell you now, Sidney Powell, one of the attorneys who is leading some of the legal fights, separated from Rudy Giuliani, but leading some of the legal fights for Trump, she and I were talking over the weekend. In fact, had been talking for some time about getting her back on board today. She had texted me that I will try, but I might be in flights. And the last message I got today was, I can't make it. I'll be in a plane. I really want to get into questions that the CNN White House correspondent tweeted out the other night. Spotted tonight, the White House attorney and conspiracy theorist, Sidney Powell. I saw her leaving the residence side of the White House shortly before 9 p.m. She denied meeting with Trump. When pressed again, she said, it would be none of your business. Well, I wanted her to respond to that. I know she'd like to, but it's not going to work out today. So we'll look for other options And there's some things I wanted to ask her, too, in addition to that. I do have a couple of special guests today you do not want to miss. First, Gordon Chain, I should say, expert on China. Questions, big questions that does China have a new pathogen that might be more dangerous than COVID that they're going to use? And by the way, there's staggering data suppression coming out of China. The Wuhan coronavirus infections may be 10 times higher than reported by China. And Dr. Pham, Kevin Pham of the Heritage Foundation, on the vaccine rollout, effective, issues with the vaccine. We do have a lot to cover, my friends. Let your friends and neighbors know we're on the air. Lock and load, ready, on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Businesses, restaurants, nursing homes need to be free of COVID. So you should be contacting Wellington Environmental. A professionally trained team will disinfect your facility using powerful but safe disinfectants. And here's something new. Wellington has a line of foggers that you can use to disinfect your own facility. These foggers are in high demand, but Wellington Environmental has some for now. They cost about $500, but my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. You save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional disinfecting, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Come with me now. Come with me now.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
It's embarrassing. The president is just embarrassing himself and really ruining whatever legacy that he has acquired since he's been in office. These stimulus checks, Ron, were already slated to go out as soon as as this week. Though that timing could slide, according to the an administration official. Then the president comes in. He delays the deal for a week. I mean, it's not just politics. There are this impacts Americans who are counting on this money.
Do you get the sympathy, the sincere sympathy and concern that Don Lemon Fruitcake has for Americans because those checks are not in their hands at this moment? Did you pick up on all of that? Did you pick up that he was just this close to crocodile tears because you didn't get the check as you were going to, and you could have had it, but Trump wouldn't sign it on Christmas Eve, and now it's been delayed again, and it's... I watched the entire coverage throughout the last few days as they went on and on and on, and I did the dirty work for you. I looked at the enemy reports, and it was this: if Trump had just signed it, bing, that'd be in your hand right now, just automatically. It was never going to happen like that. But what they're belying and running around and lying about still is that all of this could have been last summer. But Nancy Pelosi did not want to do it. You remember. I know I've told you numerous times, and I know you remember. Trump had made it very clear. Just give me a clean bill to get money to the hands of the American people, and I will sign it. Don't give me all these other things attached to it. Don't tie it, as they end up doing, to the omnibus bill to keep the country running. And so we don't do that. Just give me a clean bill. Well, no. They want to do it with everything attached because it's a crisis, and we cannot let a crisis go to waste if we can use it to our advantage. And they did. They used the whole crisis of COVID concerns and fear that you can't go out to vote. Oh, you can go to a grocery store. You can go to get gas. You can go visit a neighbor. And in some cases, you can go to a restaurant. Or if you're Nancy Pelosi, you can go get your hair done in stylist. It should be closed. You can do all that, but you can't really go out to vote in person. It's just too damn dangerous. So they could flood the election and the election results with absentee ballots. Now, you know, I have on here from time to time, former Congressman, John LeBoutier from New York. John's a very sharp guy. Wrote the book, Harvard Hates America. And he is a Reagan Republican, not a Trump at all. And John still insists to this date that this fraud reports and allegations that things are being stolen in the election and so forth because of fraudulent absentee balloting just isn't there. He says all the courts have looked at these cases and they threw them out. They still have not actually looked at evidence. You do know that. Now, they were saying, John said the other day, they have looked at evidence, Larry. They actually haven't. If they had, they would have spent several days because there were documents upon documents and numerous witnesses coming forward under sworn testimony as to what was going on. So we got two stories going here. We got the fact that this perfect storm of COVID, telling everyone you just basically better vote absentee, and we know why. And two, that you would have had money in your hands already if Trump had just made up his mind. He did sign last night the $900 billion coronavirus relief that calls at that time for $600 economic impact payments to eligible American households. He initially said he won't sign it because it was attached to a broader government funding package. He still was calling for larger checks. He was wanting to increase the threshold to $2,000. Of course, the problem is some Republicans are against raising the payoffs. Nancy Pelosi saying, the president, you need to urge your own party to vote in favor of this bill. Well, as it came into the Senate today after it passed the House, McConnell has blocked a quick vote on that $2,000 stimulus check, but says the Senate will address Trump's request, so we're waiting to see how that's going to go. Now, some are saying if Trump continues down this road, if he can't get anything done, it's going to jeopardize the election in Georgia, which is critical. Senators Loeffler and Perdue trying to hold on to seats for the Republicans. So Republicans hold a majority of 52-48 in the Senate. They have said we back the $2,000 stimulus checks. Bernie Sanders backs it. Many Republicans want to back it, but at the same time, they know we can't just continue to print money out. There's got to be accountability somewhere. There are two ways to look at this. If you don't have a job, your job's been shut down because of COVID restrictions, sometimes onerous, arbitrary, draconian restrictions, so you cannot earn a living, then yeah, that check will help you. $600 wasn't going to do much at all. $2,000 will be a little bit better. But what you really need, isn't it, that your business opens up again, that you can go back to work. Instead of taking a handout, you can actually go back and go to work. And for the businesses that are suffering right now, let us open up. Just let us get back to business. And that's what most of us really want to see happen. But in the meantime, there are those who are suffering. What can you do about them? Trump has already said, regarding the Senate Republicans who were wanting to override his veto of the 2021 defense budget, because, again, it did not repeal Section 230, which is the liability-free protection for all the internet companies, and it also did not stop renaming military bases named for Confederate generals. The president said to those Senate Republicans and the Senate Republican leadership, condemning them and the leadership as weak and tired. Weak and tired. In fact, he said it's a disgraceful act of cowardice and total submission by weak people to big tech, because you won't cut out that 230, repeal it 230. So there are a lot of things tied in. For most folks, it comes down to my check. Am I going to get a check? How much is it going to be? When will I see it? Is it going to amount to anything? And you heard Don Lemon a moment ago saying, these checks were slated to go out this week. Now it could slide. It could slide a little bit. The president delayed it for a week. And it's not just politics. There are real, this impacts Americans who are counting on this money. Don Lemon, where were you when Nancy Pelosi refused repeatedly to simply come up with a bill that had nothing but money for Americans in need and businesses in need, rather than tying everything they could to it? Where were you? Well, Don Lemon does not want to take on that challenge because he knows where he was. He was all in favor of, We just don't want to give anything that might make Trump look good to the public as they go to the polls. We got to make them suffer. So the House of Representatives passed the Cash Act yesterday to increase coronavirus relief payments from $600 to $2,000. And it went to the Senate this morning. It needs 60 votes to make the increase, which President Trump is pushing, a reality. And when he signed the $2.3 trillion Coronavirus Relief government spending bill package to keep the government running through next September, he said we still need to get this money out to the people. When the House passed that legislation, you should know this, 44 Republicans supported it at that time. 130 did not. 21 Republicans didn't vote at all. And only two Democrats supported the measure. I should, all but two Democrats. Illinois Congressman Lipinski and Oregon Congressman Kurt Schrader opposed it. And, of course, the question has been is, are we just going to dump the money into people that maybe they don't need it? Maybe they've got investments they can live on. Maybe they've got some equity in their home they can use, something of that nature. But the bigger issue, I think, for most of us is the stuff they were putting into that bill, that omnibus bill, giving money to all these foreign countries. Yes, they are two different bills, but if you've got that money to give, why are you giving it away to all these other countries? That's the real big question. So as it stands now, the $2,000 stimulus checks are not going forward. McConnell has put a quick block on it. Now keep in mind, even to be eligible, there are certain individuals you... If you're earning above $75,000 or $150,000 for married couples, you probably weren't going to get any anyway. You want to know when the cash could hit your account. Treasury Secretary Mnuchin has said checks could begin hitting bank accounts within about a week. That's before they start battling over the payment size. They still could come out within a week once that's decided, if it can be decided today. But, of course, the question still is, and Senator Rand Paul voiced it very well the other day on his speech from the floor, we can't just continue giving money out like this. We're just printing it and printing it. Now, there are some financial experts say, well, it's not going to be any inflation because a lot of the money that folks are going to get won't be going for actual goods and services. It might go into the banks. Well, if they don't need it right now, then why is it going out? If you were in desperate need of $600, $2,000, I'm for you getting it. But there are a lot of folks who would get the check. I don't really need it right now, and I know some in the past, previous check, they gave it to charity. We have somebody else wants to tell you what's really at stake and what Trump has done on this. And we will get to him after this break. Because he, along with others, want to blame Trump for everything. And how Trump is dallied around with this, dallied around the COVID in general. And the comparison he makes is so far-fetched. But they buy it. Because it's a leftist view.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So once again, we're in a holding pattern to see what's going to happen next on if the $2,000 checks, or at least something more than $600, will be approved by the Senate. The House passed it out saying go forward with $2,000. And Mitch McConnell has blocked a quick vote on these $2,000 stimulus checks, but says the Senate will address the president's request. Well, the president's request is $2,000. Keep in mind, all of this got tied to that 6,000-page legislation to fund the government, provide relief for Americans at the same time. USA Today even reported that environmental activists are, quote, touting the $2.3 trillion bill as a potential game changer thanks to tax breaks for renewable energy sources, initiatives to promote carbon capture storage, and a significant phase down of hydrofluorocarbons that are a key culprit to the planet's warming. Where in the hell do you see anything regarding COVID? You don't. You don't. But again, they want to shove it all in. So when Trump was putting his foot down saying, this bill doesn't work, we're not going to go through with it, just give me a clean bill, I'll get that done. And then he would not sign it on Christmas Day as they started to. And still has said, give me a clean bill or give me what we can to get to the American public and forget the rest of this. The mainstream media sees an opening. They have already defeated Trump in the election. They're convinced of it. I know you may think otherwise. They're convinced of it. And yet there's still efforts underway to stop it. But they don't want to stop the rhetoric, that's for sure. Because here's how they are looking at how Trump is dealing with this whole COVID scare. I should correct that. It's not just a scare. It's a fact. The COVID illness and the American public and how he's dealing with them. And at the same time, still trying to make sure the election was valid. I want you to hear from Ron Brownstein of The Atlantic.
since the election. He's been focused on trying to overturn the election. He's been pressuring the Justice Department to appoint special prosecutors aimed at his political opponents. He's been doling out pardons to his cronies and confederates, and all while being AWOL on what is becoming an almost unimaginable national security challenge. I mean, we've been saying that we're living through a 9/11 or a Pearl Harbor a day. Well, the projections from the University of Washington is that the month of January could exceed even that astounding death toll. We're talking about maybe 100,000 projected deaths in the month of January from COVID, and the president is simply AWOL on it while he's nursing his own grievances. And again, his party is abetting this by essentially raising no complaint as he is checked out on this enormous national security challenge, maybe the biggest facing the country since World War II.
Really? This compared to World War II? Those numbers he's throwing around, 100,000 deaths coming in January from COVID? I'm going to have Dr. Kevin Pham joining us in the next hour. I want to get his take on all these accelerated numbers because, once again, we have never really been able to trust the numbers, have we? But there is a bigger concern. And part of it has to do with China. A CDC study states that the Wuhan coronavirus infections may be 10 times higher than reported. We'll get into that in a moment.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
My next guest we've had on numerous times before. You no doubt have seen him on Varney, Fox Business, Newsmax, numerous other channels, cable and network, numerous publications. You can find him on Twitter, by the way, at Gordon G. Chain. At Gordon G. Chain. And he's giving us some of his time today. Jane, welcome aboard. Gordon, glad to have you with us.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Larry, and Happy New Year to you and your listeners.
Yeah, thank you. We are certainly coming up on it, and I'll be glad to put this year behind us.
Me too.
Your expertise on China is a special interest because I'm seeing there's a report on a study of coronavirus antibodies in Wuhan's population that was conducted back in mid-April, suggesting the true tally of COVID-19 infections at that time in China may have been 10 times higher than the numbers reported by the health officials. Another lie, a mistake, or what?
Certainly not a mistake. I think that probably this certainly was deliberate. And the reason is that there were all sorts of political considerations that forced local officials not to report the true situation. We know from anecdotal reporting about the crematoria in Wuhan operating overtime, and people have sort of assumed that there were something like 50,000 deaths there when the whole country has only reported about 4,500. We don't know the true extent of what the number of infections and deaths in Wuhan and elsewhere, but we all know that it was much higher than has been officially reported.
I've also seen that new numbers coming out of Russia where they're acknowledging that, yes, their numbers for COVID deaths are higher. In fact, three times higher than previously reported. They had originally reported 55,000 dead. Now they're admitting 186,000.
Yes, and, you know, clearly this is going to be true for a number of other countries. There's a problem here. I mean, for other countries that are honestly trying to report, you know, you don't know what the cause of certain deaths are. You don't, you know, it's hard to tell sometimes between the flu and COVID-19. But there are countries like China which have deliberately tried to underplay this. And this fits in with China's narrative because after they finally admitted that this disease was contagious, they then tried to tell the world that it was no more deadly than SARS, which was the 2002-2003 epidemic that killed 810 people, infected 8,400, according to the World Health Organization. So we know that underplaying at home was really a support of a Communist Party narrative that was transmitted to the world.
Well, while we're on the numbers, I really want to expand the conversation but past that, but while we're on the numbers, we had just a moment ago, before you joined us, Ron Brownstein of The Atlantic was saying that some of the projections now that we would see 100,000 deaths in January in this nation. Does that sound at all possible?
That sounds a little bit high to me.
A little bit high. I mean, 10,000, 20,000? How much high?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a virologist or an epidemiologist. But, you know, total from the beginning of this epidemic to now, it's about 335,000 deaths. We know that we've got the vaccine started to go out there. People know how to protect themselves from this disease. And, yes, it is winter, and there will be, I think, probably more infections and deaths in January than they are this month. But 100,000 deaths just strikes me as you know, well beyond the range of the reasonable estimates.
Well, again, one more point on the numbers. I think most of us have a hard time believing the numbers because we've seen too many cases where someone died with COVID, not of COVID, or they had underlying symptoms, and even a flu, if it just been a normal flu, it might have led to the same end result, unfortunately. So I don't know how we're ever going to get a real understanding of the numbers because I think they've been inflated. I think they've been hidden. We know, I think in Kentucky, I had the story the other day, a mortician saying, we got cases in here that are gunshot victims and they're putting them down as COVID.
I wouldn't be surprised at that because there are financial incentives to do that. And so, you know, you look at all of this. I mean, we've had very few flu deaths reported at a time when we would have much more. So, you know, as you point out, you just don't know cause of death. And just because a person has coronavirus doesn't mean that they died from that. So these numbers, I believe, are higher than a medical investigation, if it were possible, would reveal.
So the next and while we're not dismissing the deaths that have happened, obviously, and those who are ill now, the next big concern is still trying to decide, was this an accident or was it an intentional? And is China working on a pathogen that might be more deadly than COVID?
Those are critical questions. First of all, we don't know whether this bug was engineered or whether it was naturally occurring. But we do know that Xi Jinping, the Chinese ruler, took steps that would inevitably spread the disease beyond China's borders, and that he had to know what he was doing. So the release from China itself was malicious. So even if it weren't a biological weapon to start out with, he turned it into one. We have really good suspicions that China has a biological weapons program. I'm sure that they've got pathogens which are far more deadly than COVID-19's. So it seems to me that we have to assume that they've got pathogens out there which are far more transmissible, far more fatal than the coronavirus.
We have known, of course, since this first surfaced, that the World Health Organization pretty much was carrying the water for China, just echoing whatever they were told. Didn't seem to be really making any independent studies, inquiries. And don't we have a lot of American companies that still have some researchers and their efforts underway in Wuhan and that area?
Well, as to the first point, yes, the WHO was complicit. So, for instance, the WHO on January 14th issued that infamous tweet, which repeated China's line that the disease was not readily transmissible from one person to the next. Yet WHO's senior doctors knew that because this was a coronavirus, that it was highly transmissible. And really what we're talking about is that the political leadership of the WHO, the Director General, Dr. Tedros, the number two, Bruce Allwine, they were guilty in spreading a disease, and they knew what they were doing. So clearly WHO was involved in this. WHO has a lot of fine doctors and technicians, but their work is nullified by the political leadership, which is guilty in spreading this disease.
There, if we're looking at something else coming out of China, I don't know if you're aware of it. I pointed out to the audience yesterday, there was a science fiction thriller film titled Songbird that was just released. It came out. It was announced in May 2020, this last May, and is now up on video on demand as of December of this same year, based on the COVID-19. And the plot is that by 2024, it's now COVID-23. The entire world is in its fourth pandemic year, and we have 8 million dead in the U.S. and armed forces everywhere keeping everyone locked up and so forth. Is that such a far stretch if we look at a country seeing what they've done already with our economy and what we've had American people have to go through?
It is not a stretch. I mean, I'm not saying that that is what's going to happen, but I'm saying that could very well happen. Because all indications are that China does have a biological weapons program and that China has been working on diseases that target specific ethnic and racial groups. Chinese military researchers have actually, in open source, have written about this. China has a doctrine of unrestricted warfare, so we've got to be concerned that, yes, they've got another pathogen. It is going to be more deadly, more transmissible than what we've just seen with the coronavirus, and that we could have waves and waves of this.
I know you had, in our last time we had you on the air, you're talking about how China's been collecting DNA from around the world, as you said, to maybe define ethnic groups that might be targeted by certain pathogens.
Yes. I mean, we know that, for instance, if you want to find the world's biggest database of the DNA of Americans, that's not in America. That's in China. And China's been collecting DNA from around the world. And they've been doing that, for instance, in their phase three trials for their vaccines, which the deal with countries like Morocco, like Nigeria, many others, is that we will give you access to the vaccine when it is finally developed, if we can conduct phase three trials in your country and we get the DNA of test subjects. So they do this, they hack, they buy companies, they provide DNA testing at subsidized rates so that if you go to, you know, an ancestry company, you're basically having your DNA tested by the Chinese central government. So any number of different ways they're collecting genetic information about the world, and they are not, at the same time, they are not allowing Chinese DNA information to be transmitted out of China. That is extremely suspicious and should concern all of us.
Gordon, as always, we appreciate your time, sir. And again, you can see him, folks. Go to his Twitter account, Twitter at Gordon G. Chang. And I thank you for your time and wish you a Happy New Year, and hopefully we'll see another year based on what we're facing at this point.
Well, thank you so much, Larry, and I really appreciate the opportunity.
You bet. We thank you, sir. Gordon G. Chang, expert on China, and it is frightening. It is frightening, isn't it? But we got to keep it in perspective. And then we've got Al Sharpton. You want to hear this.
Oh.
with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
He cannot estimate, he being a president like Biden, is you're dealing with a different kind of zeal on in this Republican Party now that has been put in by Donald Trump and fired up their base, where many of them are afraid of their base that will not let them reach back across the aisle. Because they've become captive by a charismatic con man that has now captured the party and arrested them in place.
That is Al Sharpton calling Trump a con man. Now, I will tell you this. If there's anyone who knows a con man, I would say it'd be Al Sharpton. Remember the girl who was brought up, placed in front of reporters by Sharpton, Tawana Brawley, that she'd been raped, turned out to be a full lie. But he was trying to make his bones and his credibility, his stance, his future, his fame upon what should have been a tragedy for a young woman and turned out to be a lie. And yet I hear him say in this that many in the Donald Trump base, they're just so afraid to reach across the aisle. They're held captive by a charismatic con man. How would you define the Black Caucus and its decision regarding going to Donald Trump's inauguration? Now, when it came down to it, the leader of the Black Caucus did indeed go. He was not sure he wanted to. But he admitted that, you know, I'm in a different position as the new chairman of the Congressional Black Caucus, Cedric Richmond. I'm going to attend. He didn't really call for a boycott, but the word was circulating, nah, you don't have to be if you don't really want to be. And about 60 House Democrats said they're going to boycott, and they did. But that did not include the House leaders or even the senators. But did you see them reaching across the aisle at that point as Trump is coming in? He's just beginning. There was no effort to reach across the aisle. But once again, let's go to the words of Al Sharpton. He seems to know all about healing and dealing with folks who are in hurt and pain and reaching across the aisle.
You're not dealing with people that are talking about healing. You're dealing with people that want to just hold where they are and have nothing even appearing like they're dealing with people across the aisle, less known dealing with a citizenship that is diverse and have interests that have been treated unfairly.
So you see, Sharpton says, you're just dealing with people that want to hold where they are. They don't want to appear to be that they're dealing with people across the aisle. Do you remember what happened recently? Recently, Senator Dianne Feinstein of California, she gave a friendly hug to her Republican colleague, Senator Lindsey Graham. Democrats, liberal activists, left-leaning pundits were dismayed because this followed the Amy Coney Barrett nomination and approval. And the Senate Judiciary Committee leadership, the executive director, one of them anyway, saying that it's time for Feinstein to step down from her position with the Senate Judiciary Committee. All she did was go across after it was all over with. They had a good debate, and the nomination went forward. She went over to give him a hug, because they've had decades of service to our country. Sometimes agreeing, often not, but still looking at each other as people. So when I hear Al Sharpton talk about how the Trump supporters just aren't capable of reaching across the aisle, I'm thinking, where have you done so? Where have you done so? Where have you done it for the last 4 years? You know the answer to that. And he does too. He just doesn't want to discuss it. He wants you to just accept his words that Trump is a con man, as if Sharpton's not. And say those under Trump, they have no interest of reaching across the aisle. Well, I'd like to know where Al Sharpton was on what happened in downtown Boston. The statue of Abraham Lincoln, with a freed slave appearing to kneel at his feet. It's known as the Emancipation Memorial. It stood since 1879. I know the vision of the black man in shackles kneeling it in front of Abraham that could obviously anger and upset, be offensive to some other. But look at the history of it. The history was he was breaking the shackles from the wrist and setting the man free, the great emancipator. But once again, the negative crowd won out. And the statue has been removed. Al Sharpton, did I see anybody on your side saying, let's keep that there for history's sake? In the next hour, the vaccines and how they are working and possible side effects from Dr. Pham, and the mainstream media wants to believe it's better than you and the rest of us.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.